Crosswalk Talk Radio is a production of Crosswalk Life, Inc. Join Carlotta Waldman for a prophetic worldview, end times news, and live prophetic ministry.
Hello, hello, hello. This is Carlotta Waldman. We've had big challenges already this morning, so that tells me one more time. This is going to be a fantastic show as we interview Dr. Tom Barrett. I'm Carlotta Waldman, the host. I'm a Christian counselor, prophet, educator, seminar leader, and show host. And so we ask you for your prayers for this program because it's been a whale of a fight to get it started today. But we're here. Amen. I was so glad when Sally Saxon told me about Dr. Tom Barrett. First of all, I could relate to his website at Christian Financial Concepts right away because when I was with Campus Crusade for Christ, in the 70s, we shared a building with Larry Burkett, who is the former owner of this website address, Christian Financial Concepts. But Dr. Tom Barrett is just a jewel. He has offered two free financial webinars each week from his website, almost 500 hours of information, and he has a weekly radio program too, and he's so approachable. What I really like is not just that he was a former investor, you know, bank stockbroker and all, but that he's an ordained minister and everything he tells me, I believe, is biblical. And so I even had the opportunity of having lunch with him. I can testify to how, how personable he is. He's my go-to counselor for finances. He's willing to answer real questions, and we're going to give him some real questions today because I believe that what he offers isn't just knowledge, but it's knowledge applied, and the Bible calls that wisdom. Amen? So I believe he's on the air with us. Dr. Tom, are you here?
I am indeed. How are you doing today, sister?
We made it.
Yes.
I tell you, Christianity isn't for the faint of heart. Hallelujah.
Right.
So I'm so glad
to
have you. How would you introduce yourself?
How would I introduce myself? Well,
right.
I'm a son of God. I'm a husband to a wonderful wife, Anna. And I'm a father to a fantastic daughter, Sarah.
Okay.
Those are my priorities.
Amen. Amen. Well, I just gave the other little stuff. And I wanted to have Dr. Barrett on the air with us because I have had so many financial questions. I was not trained in this in any formal way like he was. And now we're all facing these questions on how to set up a wise budget, how to invest wisely, and all here in these end times. And well, the program also erased the questions I was going to ask you. We've had a terrible time with this morning. But I know that a lot of people have real practical questions, not just how did we get here where we have such high debt and, you know, such a failing economy, the dollar is supposed to, you know, crash any time. And I think a lot of people wonder if that is just hype, if it's really going to happen, and if so, how can the average person have a budget that will work through this crash? How can they know where to invest, what to invest in? And can we even keep some cash in savings or in emergency funds, or is that too dangerous? And so I think we just have real practical questions. We've already got several callers on the line. I want to say to the callers, if you get to the point where you are ready to pose your question, just hit number one, and that will let me know that you are that you're ready to ask a question. If you've already clicked number one and you're not ready to ask it, you just click number one again. That will unmute you for the time. And I want to tell everyone you're going to want to not only listen to this today, but after it's in the archives, about an hour after the program is over, you can download it and keep it. You can share it with your friends, because who wants to be caught off guard? you know, during a financial crisis. So where should we begin, Dr. Tom?
Well, the one thing you mentioned, I think it's easy to clear up and be a good place to start, is the question, is all this talk about a crash a bunch of hype? And to me, the answer is obvious if you study history. It's not hype, because it has happened over and over again. It's happened in just about every nation that's ever existed, even going back into ancient times, thousands of years ago. And just in the last 25 years, 20% of the modern nations have experienced hyperinflation, which is runaway inflation where their money buys less and less and less, until eventually people won't even take the paper money. They'll only accept silver or gold. So it's a very real thing. And it's always caused by the same thing, greed, either government greed or bank greed or business people's greed. Obviously, none of those are scriptural attributes. But when the government gets so greedy that it keeps on printing money that is worthless, then eventually the currency has to crash. And
right.
There's never been a currency in the history of the world that has survived. The average lifetime has been 37 years of a currency.
Ooh. Ouch.
Yeah. Now, some people say, well, how has the U.S. dollar lasted longer than that? Well, to get an average of any number, you're going to have some outliers, some that are a lot smaller. Some currencies, like in France, when they went off the gold standard, their currency only lasted 4 years. Others have lasted longer, but the average is 37 years. The main reason right now that the U.S. dollar has survived since we went off the gold standard, it keeps dropping in value. It's lost 96% of its value, as a matter of fact, since 1933. But the main reason we're still on the map is because we're the world reserve currency. Problem is, we're losing that status.
Yes.
A couple of decades ago, 90% of all the reserves in all the central banks all over the world were U.S. dollars. Now that's only 60,
wow.
And it's dropping.
That's some hard evidence.
It is, and it's readily available, but obviously the politicians don't like to talk about that.
Right.
Because it makes them look bad. But, you know, they always fall back on the U.S. central bank, the Federal Reserve System. They don't like to call it a central bank, but that's exactly what it is. And they, you know, it's all just a big lie. They call it Federal Reserve System. Well, it's not federal. It's as federal as FedEx, let's put it like that. The federal government does not control it, okay? There are no reserves, period. And the only way they get money is by printing more. And as I mentioned, it's not a system. It's a central bank. It was defeated twice because the people didn't want central banks like they had in Europe. And finally, they managed to get it through Congress by calling it a banking system, not a central bank. But that's actually what it is. So it has more control over our economy than the president and Congress combined, because it sets the interest rates. And that's a scary thing to have, private companies being in control of the U.S. economy.
Wow. That just said it in a nutshell. That was the whole problem. Wow. So what can we plan or do? You know, go ahead.
Well, you mentioned about, you know, having a budget, and would that take us through a crash? And the answer is no. Having a budget is a very good thing. Everybody, every individual, every church, every business should have a budget, so you know how much you have come in, how much is going out, and how to fix things if there's a an imbalance. If you're spending more than you'd bring it in, like our government does, what they should be doing is cutting back on expenses. But a budget is going to do you no good in a crash because the money you have will be worthless. So the way to prepare for a crash is to have real money. I've mentioned this to you before, but not to your listeners. The Bible says in Haggai 2:8, the silver is mine and the gold is mine, says the Lord of hosts. Well, what is that verse all about? I mean, why would he say that? Because we know from other places in the Word that everything belongs to the Lord. You know, the cattle on 1,000 hills, everything belongs to him. The sun and the moon and the stars. So why did he single out silver and gold? Why didn't he say the hummingbirds and the tangerines are mine, says the Lord of hosts? You know, I believe it's because it's clear throughout the Word that God gave us silver and gold. You know, gold is mentioned in the first book of the Bible, second chapter of Genesis. God says there was gold in the land of Havilah, and it was good. He gave us something good to be the foundation and basis for economies that wouldn't crash. And throughout history, and I've studied thousands of years of economic history, the nations that had gold or silver as a currency, or if they had paper currency, like we did in the first part of our country, backed by gold or silver, then those nations have prospered. And for the first 57 years of our existence, the United States was the most respected currency in the world. And our credit was gold. But the nations that have gone on a paper money standard, which is called fiat currency, and it's money backed by nothing, as we have been for the last 80 plus years, those nations have always crashed economically without fail, because eventually people find out that they put their faith in nothing, smoke and mirrors. So the way to protect yourself against that is to do the opposite of what the United States has done. We went off the gold standard, and the country started sliding. Our dollar maintained its value for 157 years, but in the last 84 years, it's dropped every year. And it's because we no longer back our money with gold. We're not going to get the country back at a gold standard, but what we can do is put our families on the gold standard, put our churches and our businesses on the gold standard, which is easy to do. You just buy gold. The question is, what kind of gold?
So we can actually create our own gold reserves for our own investments, our own family, business, etc. So buying gold really will help.
Yes, ma'am. And that's very perceptive. You know, we no longer have gold reserves. Many people believe that the gold that was supposedly Fort Knox is no longer there, because for years we were spending all our gold sending it to other countries to buy things. So whether it's there or not doesn't really matter in a sense, because if it was all there, all the gold the government says is there, there would be only enough to cover 3 or 4% of all the currency they've issued, trillions and trillions and trillions of dollars worth of money backed by nothing. So the nation couldn't go back on a gold standard if it wanted to. The only way that's going to happen is if there's a crash, has happened in nation after nation, and then they're forced to go back on a hard money standard. But we could create our own reserves. And just a little, just give you an idea. When the German currency crashed, it was like 4 marks. That was their currency unit for one U.S. dollar. So each mark was worth 25 cents. 4 years later, in 1923, it was 4.2 trillion marks to the dollar. You can imagine a trillion times inflation. That's just unbelievable. Right now, in Venezuela, they're experiencing 1,000,000% inflation. But, you know, trillion? That's insane. During that time, you could have taken 25 ounces of gold, which you could buy today for 25 times 12, you know, around $30,000, something like that. And you could have bought an entire city block of downtown Berlin, which was one of the major cities in the world at the time. And we're not just talking about land. I mean, we're talking about buildings, office buildings, commercial buildings, and so on. You could have bought the entire city block for 25 ounces of gold. That'd be like buying a block of Manhattan today for $30,000. You can't buy a parking spot in Manhattan right now for $30,000.
Is that right?
So that's what happens. So if we have a crash, gold will immediately go to 10 to 15 times its current value. So that means it's going to be like $12,000 to $18,000 an ounce. And silver will go up similarly right now. It's around 16, it'll go to about $400 an ounce. So having even just a little bit of gold and silver can save your family because it can mean the difference between whether you eat or not.
But would you have to sell that gold in order to eat?
No, because think about it this way. If you have a $20 bill, do you have to sell it in order to get something to go buy things with?
No, but you have to spend it.
Exactly. And that's the way it will be when the people no longer accept paper money and only accept gold or silver. It will be, again, what God designed it to be. It will be the money. So we will spend gold and silver. We won't sell it. The only money in the Bible, you know, the word is translated as money in the King James in both the Old and the New Testament, is either the Hebrew or Greek word for silver or the Hebrew or Greek word for gold. So gold and silver were the only money in the Bible. And similarly, in the United States, the only constitutional money is gold and silver. I have a website called conservativetruth.org, and one of the things we provide there is all the founding documents. Go there, click on the Constitution, and read through the whole thing. Take you less than 40 minutes. People are afraid of the Constitution, but, you know, oh, it takes too long. It's too complicated. No, it's easy to read, and most people can read it in 30 to 40 minutes. Try to find any mention of anything other than gold or silver as money. It doesn't exist because the founding father knew the Bible. So it's the only biblical money. It's the only constitutional money. And really, it's the only worldwide currency because it's the only money that's always been universally accepted is gold. The dollar has been widely accepted ever since we became a nation, but it's never been universally accepted. Some countries won't accept it. You have to transfer it over. But there's nobody that won't accept gold. So wouldn't you like to have the only real money that's been recognized as money for thousands of years? It's the biblical money in the Constitution. Wouldn't you rather have that to rely on rather than paper money, which always becomes worthless?
And I'd like to ask one of my introductory questions again, just for those that came in late or couldn't wrap their brain around the answer. Are you actually saying you not only believe the dollar will crash, and according to historical cycles that you've already explained, but are you saying that it won't be safe to leave hardly any of our money in savings?
Well, whatever's in savings will evaporate, and not just the money. Let me make this clear. Anything that's paper or anything that you own that's denominated in U.S. dollars will become worthless. Mutual funds, stocks, CDs, bank accounts, insurance, annuities, your retirement plan, all of that. It's just paper. Now, you'll still get a statement. You'll get a statement from the brokerage firm saying your mutual funds are worth so-and-so. But if you say, okay, great, sell them and send me the money, they'll say, well, we can't do that right now. And so it's everything paper. Now, does that mean I don't think you should have an emergency cash fund? I think you should. Okay, everybody should have some cash around. But when you see the end approaching, go out and use that cash to buy gold and silver.
When do you know when that is?
Well, when you see people saying that they don't want your paper money anymore. I saw a great cartoon the other day. There was a lady at a counter, and the sign behind her said, cash and checks not accepted. There's this big line of people waiting to buy things. And this guy at the back of the line says, I've got gold. And she says, whoopee, gold, you know. When you start seeing that happening, when you start seeing companies making their contracts in gold, not in dollars, okay, that would be a strong sign. Because
another question along that line, because I want people to get the importance.
Let me just finish one thing. The reason that's really important is as the dollar loses value, it takes more and more dollars to buy the same amount of gold. So the dollar becomes worth less and less until it's worthless. So that's why eventually you'll see people writing contracts in ounces of gold, not in U.S. dollars, because if they get that same ounce of gold, it'll be worth far more down the road than it was at the time they wrote the contract. If they write it in dollars, it'll be worth far less. Which would you rather have?
So in three different scenarios where I have income streams, if I've loaned somebody some money and they would normally pay me in dollars, when I'm receiving my Social Security check and a small check of retirement, will all of those disappear?
Well, the Social
Security nobody system. Nobody trading paper.
People have been warning for years that the Social Security system is bankrupt, and it's just not bringing in enough money to cover cost. When the Social Security system was devised, there was 16.2 workers for every retired person. So everybody's paying a little bit into it, and they were supporting the retired person. It wasn't their money that they'd put into it. No one had put money in the Social Security system at that point. But the people who were working were paying for it. Now, over the years, people did start putting money in the Social Security system, and the government started paying out more and more and more. But the number of workers became less, and we're down to about 2.5 workers for every person on Social Security. And still today, the Social Security that you draw, if you draw it for your entire life until you're 100 years old, you'll never you will receive far, far more than you ever paid into it. Okay? So it's dependent. It's sort of like a Ponzi scheme. It's dependent on new people coming in the system all the time to pay for the people who are already retired. Well, that number is shrinking. And think about this. Will your children, when it gets down to one-on-one, but there's one worker for every retired person, are your children going to be willing to pay a big chunk of their salary to support some other person they've never met? There will be rebellion, you know. People are just going to say, I'm not doing Social Security anymore. So I don't want to be, you know, scare people. You know, it's like around election time, the one party will call up people and say, the other party can take away your Social Security. No, that's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is that Social Security will take away your Social Security because it hasn't been managed, it hasn't been reformed, and it's going to be like everything else. The government will not be able to meet its commitments.
And during a crash, would even my retirement check disappear?
Well, in a sense, it doesn't matter. It probably would because, look, we've already got companies that have promised pensions to people, major national companies who stop paying them because they ran out of money. Think of all the millions of General Motors employees that were due pensions. They'd worked 25, 30 years, and yes, I'm going to get my pension, and I'll have a good time. I'll go down to Florida and fish and so on. And now they're working as greeters at Walmart because General Motors went bankrupt. But even if you continue to get the check, it's still going to be worthless. If you still keep getting Social Security, what can you buy with the devalued dollars?
And again, so right now, I don't have a budget.
Okay.
I'm realizing more and more and more that even if we have a sound budget at this time, if it's based on income streams and paper dollars that are going to disappear, then that budget is going to suddenly change.
Absolutely. Yeah. That's why I said at the beginning, a budget won't save you in a crash. It's good to have now, but you need reserves, real reserves. I like the way you put that. I'm going to remember that. Become our own reserve system. So I don't want people to feel like I'm fear-mongering here or anything like that. Sometimes people say, well, you know, you're talking down the U.S. dollar. You're unpatriotic. I joined the Marine Corps in 1966, right out of high school, when everybody else is running off to Canada to avoid the draft. I feel like I'm probably one of the most patriotic people you'll ever meet. I love the United States, but I don't love the government. I don't love the stupid things that are going on. And neither party is doing the right thing by the American people. We used to have the party of big government and the party of small government.
you got it.
Yeah, right. Now, today, we got the party of big government and the party of bigger government. So, you know, nobody is really watching out for the people. Dr. Ron Paul hates the fact that he left Congress because he was the only one that was there that understood money. So, you know, we have to depend on ourselves. We cannot depend on the government. It's like,
okay,
I live in South Florida. We have a lot of hurricanes. You know, if there's a real bad hurricane and everything's all torn up, we can't depend on the government to come and save our bacon, okay? The
right.
Fire trucks can't get out when there's 4 feet of water in the road. The ambulances can't respond. The cops can't get here. If the electricity's off, we have to fend for ourselves. And so people learn to be independent, to put water and food and so on back, to get a generator. So that's a very small microcosm of what will happen when there's a crash, because if the U.S. crashes, it's not just going to be the U.S. It's going to spread throughout the world, just like the Great Depression did. You know, they called it the U.S. Great Depression, but within 6 months, it had spread to every major country in the world. Guess which companies didn't get affected by it?
What companies?
Yeah. The little countries that no one would give credit to, okay, the little banana republic kind of countries, as we call them, and so they had no debt. They survived the Great Depression nicely. It really made no difference to them. But it was all the countries with their banks and their businesses crashing really got hurt during the Depression. Well, these days, even the little tiny countries are burdened down with debt. There's no country that's without debt. So when it happens this time, I predict it's going to either start in the United States or in Europe. Right now, Europe seems to be the bigger candidate because they've got horrendous debt problems over there like we do, and they're fighting with each other. But it doesn't matter where it starts. If it starts in Europe, it will spread to the United States and then throughout the world. If it starts in the United States, it'll spread to Europe and then throughout the world. So the whole world will be affected by a crash this time.
Okay, so what I'm trying to wrap my brain around, and I'm personalizing it, of course, is say a person has just inherited $1 million in their inheritance, and they could leave it that as cash in a fund or a bank, and that's not too good. So they could buy property, they can buy silver and gold. Is it true that we'll all be in the same boat if this is worldwide then. And all we're really going to own is what we literally own. It's bought and paid for, whether it's property, gold, or silver.
Yeah, those are all the things you mentioned are hard assets, and that's all I'm in right now. And the people who are prepared, you know, just think of the 10 virgins. The wise virgins had the oil and so on. They were prepared, and the others weren't. Well, the people who are prepared will survive, and the people who aren't prepared won't survive. Let me just, you know, I know we're running short on time, so let me just mention one thing.
We have 2 hours if we want it.
Well, I don't, unfortunately. I thought you'd tell me 45 minutes. Yeah,
do have a couple callers then. I'm going to have to take those.
Well, yeah.
Go ahead.
But let me just mention this. The question you just asked is a wide-ranging one, and I've spent months researching and writing an article called the 10-10-10 Financial Survival Plan. Okay. I would advise everybody to read that. That's free as part of the Gold Education Starter Package. So if people go to investmentgrade.gold, not .com, the .gold is like the .net or .org or whatever. So it's investmentgrade, G-R-A-D-E, .gold. They go there, fill out the form. We'll send them the free Gold Education Starter Package, and it will go into great detail about, it's got articles, it's got reports, it's got some great videos. And they'll also get an invitation to our Monday night Christian Financial Concepts webinars that you mentioned. We've been doing those every Monday night. We used to do them 2 nights a week, but now we just do them 1 night a week for the last 10 years. And I've had people tell me, even people with degrees in economics and business and finance, that they've learned more about how to really protect their families from those webinars than they did from all the years in college and graduate school. So I would invite everybody to go there and join us on the Monday night webinars. So do we have questions for your listeners?
Yes. Would you like to take a caller now?
Sure. I think they have to hit #1, don't they?
Well, I'm going to unmute someone right now. And what I do is I call out the area code. I call out the area code, and then they know it's them, and then I ask them to say their name and city or state or something so you have an idea of who you're talking to. We're so glad to have callers today. It makes us – a lot of times you think to ask things that maybe we didn't think of. But area code 561, what's your name and city, please?
Hello, is this me?
Yes, it is you. And your name?
All right. Name's Chris. I'm out of Florida.
Okay.
I heard earlier there's this word, world reserve currency. Could you explain what that is?
Okay, I'd be glad to. Throughout history, there's always been a primary currency in the world. For, believe it or not, for hundreds and hundreds of years, almost 1,000 years, it was China that was the world economic power. And then England, several hundred years ago, took over from them. So the British pound became the world reserve currency. The pound, kind of an interesting name, because it's a little coin that weighs about a fifth of an ounce. It's a gold coin. But the way it got its name is it's worth 16 ounces of sterling silver. So 16 ounces is a pound. So they call it the pound sterling. All right. But anyway, that was for several hundred years the world reserve currency. And then after World War II, England had spent most of their gold with us. Because remember, we entered the war late. And so England and the other countries in Europe were buying their munitions and so on from the United States. And we weren't about to take paper money because we didn't know if they were going to survive, you know, whether they'd all be speaking German or Japanese or whatever. So our merchants required gold. So that's why the U.S. ended up with, at one point, most of the gold reserves of the world. So after World War II, actually before World War II even totally ended, in 1944, Bretton Woods, Connecticut, there was a big conference there of I think it was 42 nations, allies, of course, and they were already planning on how we're going to rebuild the world economic system. And since the U.S. had the gold, we became by default the world reserve currency. We also set up the IMF, the International Monetary Fund, and the World Bank, and the United States was the big dog in both of those, because just like the UN, we provided over half of the money to support those organizations, and the other 200 countries of the world put up the other half. So, you know, we became by default the world reserve currency, but there is no official designation. In other words, there's no body, there's no, nobody from the UN or anything can decide someone's going to be the world reserve currency. What decides it is the market. And the market, like I mentioned earlier, the market wanted U.S. dollars, okay? So 90% of the central bank's holdings were in U.S. dollars. So it became by function, not by title, the world reserve currency. We're down to about 60%. Once we drop below 50%, what other currency is out there that has a greater amount of holdings will become the world reserve currency. A lot of people predict China will become the next world reserve currency because their economy is creeping up on ours very strongly, and it's the second strongest economy in the world already. And some economists say, by certain measures, it's already greater than the U.S. economy. But there's several different measures. I don't want to get into a bunch of technical stuff.
Wow.
Any other questions?
Any other question, Chris? Okay. He must have. I didn't mute him, but he's apparently satisfied with that answer.
I just had somebody send me a message that's listening. But, you know, they have my contact info. And they wanted to know what investment grade gold was, because you know that's the name of the link to get the gold starter package. Investment grade gold is gold that has two kinds of value, whereas bullion gold only has one. So to understand investment grade gold, you have to understand bullion. Bullion is any form of gold whose value is strictly the metal value. And, you know, people usually think of bullion as bars of gold, but a bar of gold would cost you around $40,000. Not too many people go around buying bars of gold. So the most popular way to buy gold is in coins. The Krugerrand from South Africa was the first to make gold buying democratic. You know, because most people could afford a 1 ounce gold coin, which at the time the Krugerrand came out was less than $200. It's now $1,200. But, you know, because as the dollar, the South African rand, all the other currencies in the world have lost value, bullion has gone up in value. So bullion can be bars. It can be little ingots or wafers, rectangular pieces. Or it could be coins. Like I say, 90% of the gold that the individuals buy is going to be in coin form. And, of course, now every country has a coin. The Chinese have the panda. Canada has the maple leaf. The U.S. has the American eagle. Now, when I say it only has one kind of value, it's just the metal value. Okay, doesn't have any what's called extrinsic value. So the main function of bullion is insurance. As the dollar goes down, gold goes up, and it keeps you even with inflation. Two quick examples. A suit of clothes, 3,000 years ago in the time of Christ, a a nice robe like the wealthy people would wear would cost you 1 ounce of gold. Same thing was true of a fine Roman toga in Roman times and in the time of Shakespeare and Beethoven and Thomas Jefferson. An ounce of gold bought a fine suit of men's clothes. This is an article in Forbes magazine. And even today, if you call a parched after Marks, which makes fine men's clothing, you'll find that the price of a parched after Marks suit will be around $1,200, $1,250, which is the price of an ounce of gold today. So the Forbes magazine article said that, you know, gold's values remain remarkably stable. Not really true. The prices remain stable, but its value hadn't changed because gold for 3,000 years has bought the same amount of food, clothing, labor, materials, shelter, and so on. One other quick example, we'll play a little guessing game here, Ms. Waldman. Do you know how much a house cost the United States 100 years ago? Typical three-bedroom, two-bath.
No, I know 60 years ago it was about $18,000.
Okay. and today it's $250,000, right, for the average house. But back 100 years ago it was $4,000. Okay. I researched this carefully and I was amazed. But what was even more interesting is not how little it cost then and how much it costs now, but how much it was in gold. Because gold was $20 an ounce since the founding of the nation, okay, right up until 1933 when we went off the gold standard. So 100 years ago, a house cost 200 ounces of gold, right? Gold at $20 an ounce times 200 is $4,000. And the 1 ounce gold coin, U.S. coin, was denominated as $20. Well, today, that same $4,000 house, typical 3-2 on an average size house lot costs $250,000. But the amount of gold it takes to buy it, surprisingly, hasn't changed. It still costs around 200 ounces of gold. Okay, 200 ounces of gold would be around 240. So that's close enough for me. So basically, what do we learn from that? We learn that hard assets protect you against inflation, because if you put the same $4,000 in the stock market, today it would only be worth $83,000. But the $4,000 put into either gold or real estate has survived and will still buy you the same amount of stuff. Is the house worth 60 times as much as it was 100 years ago? No.
Nope.
The value hadn't changed. A house is a house. The roof keeps the rain off your head. The walls keep the dirt from blowing into your living room. It's a house. So it's not worth 60 times as much, but it costs 60 times as much because the dollar is worth so much less that it takes a whole lot more dollars to buy the house. Now, what about the gold? Is the gold worth 60 times as much?
Maybe.
Same answer. It's not. You know, it costs 60 times as much, but what is the real value of gold? Gold is worth what gold will buy, all right? And gold bought a 3-2 100 years ago. Gold buys a 3-2 today. Now, what if you'd been smart 100 years ago and you had bought investment-grade gold? Today, instead of $250,000, it'd be worth almost $2 million, eight times as much. So that's the big difference between bullion gold and investment-grade gold. Bullion gold is not an investment. An investment is something that goes up in value that increases your purchasing power. And as you saw there, the 200 ounces of gold that bought you a house 100 years ago still buys you a house today. So that's not an investment. I want my investments to go up in purchase power. I want them to give me or my children or my grandchildren more than what I invested in it. Whereas investment-grade gold went up eight times as much as bullion because it's a real investment. What makes it an investment is the fact that it has two kinds of value. All right, it has the value of the metal, just like the bullion does, That's what's called the intrinsic value. But it also has what's called the extrinsic value of its rarity, okay, of its beauty, of its condition. So old gold coins that are in, have been kept in great condition and are extremely rare are worth far, far more than bullion coins, because number one, bullion coins will never be rare. They make millions of them every year. Canada does, South Africa does, the U.S. does. So the only way they become rare is if somebody gathers up millions of those coins and melts them all down, and there's only 20 or 100 of them left or whatever. Yeah, then they'd be rare. But that's not going to happen, right? But when you take ancient coins that were made 500, 600, even 200 years ago, where they only made 1,000 of them, and now there is only 100 left in the world because they've gotten damaged or lost or buried to keep them safe, and somebody dies and nobody knows where they are, those coins are worth a lot more, and they just continue to grow in value every year.
And then what would you suggest? I'm so practical. Before I let you go, I want you to answer just one more thing, and then
sure.
I want you to tell our listeners how they can do all this. But say you're one of millions of property owners in the United States and this crash happens and your house is paid for, though, so you think you're okay, but still you won't be able to pay your taxes. So will everybody lose property ownership at once that can't pay their taxes because their dollars are no good?
Here's the one good thing about a crash. About the only good thing about it. And that is, don't worry about your taxes, because your tax bill, your contract, your contract with the county to pay taxes is based on a bill that's passed by your legislature. And that's in dollars. So you could still give them worthless dollars and they have to take them. They can't say, well, we don't like dollars, we want gold. A private business can do that, but the government can't do that. And if you did still have a mortgage, you could probably go down and pay it off for 1 ounce of gold, you know, because the mortgage company would love to have gold, you know.
Okay, so we won't all lose our home ownership at once. Okay, so Dr. Tom, you've got so many resources on your page, and I know people have lots of questions now. Where would they begin to know about investing with investment-grade gold?
Well, the best thing would be to go to the website I mentioned earlier. I'll give it again, investmentgrade.gold, investmentgrade.gold. And there'll be a little form there. You see some pictures of gold and so on, and an invitation to fill out this form. And you will get something called the Gold Education Starter Package. You'll also get access to a special website that's got a tremendous amount of information on it itself. But the email will be the most important thing you'll get. And then you'll also get an invitation to the webinars. I've had people that are financial planners, accountants, people that really know the way around money, that have said that listening to these webinars for a year, they just learn so much more than they did in their college and graduate school. And it's because the Lord has blessed me and connect me up with some of the best teachers in the body of Christ. So every Monday night is a jewel. And I strongly recommend that people attend the Monday night webinars. You've been on them. I know you can attest to that.
Right. And it's so helpful because it's not easy to do this paradigm shift in your thinking, to think that you can have, you know, a barrel full of dollars and it might be, maybe you could pay your taxes, like you said. But generally, you know, we need to learn a lot. I know I do. We've got some silver, but how much of our value should be in silver, like Solomon said, to invest 7 or 8 different ways. And so I still can't picture what proportion to put in silver that's more easily spendable what proportion to have investment grade gold and what proportion to have in property, for instance, or collectible.
Well, then you'll really appreciate the 10-10-10 financial survival plan. I've had that reviewed by some of the best Christian economists in the nation, and they say it's the best asset allocation plan they've seen for precious metals. So, you need to take that in the larger context of your overall net worth as well. But Ecclesiastes 11, 1 and 2 does say, have 7 or 8 different investments, and precious metals should definitely be amongst those.
Definitely. Definitely. And I was just trying to get some relief to believe we wouldn't all lose our properties because of taxes, because I want some of mine to be in properties, that I can enjoy.
Yeah,
now,
absolutely.
So.
And frankly, it's not in the interest of government to take everybody's property away.
Really?
You always have to look at the thing of government. Let me just give you a little example. You see these houses that have been repossessed by the banks. Almost every bank that has any mortgages out there has what they call an REO department. That means real estate owned. And they have very aggressively tried to sell those houses. First of all, they try not to repossess them because they're not in the real estate business. They're in the banking business. They want to have interest coming in. They don't want to own houses because after they repossess
right.
it, they have to maintain it because if the house gets a leak in the roof, it can ruin the value. They have to keep the lawn mowed because the house won't sell if it looks ugly. They have to protect it from kids breaking windows and so on. So it's a big responsibility. So the banks actually, some of the best deals you ever get on houses is buying them from banks rather than from traditional sources because they really don't want those suckers. They want to get out from under that responsibility as quickly as possible. And a lot of times they'll sell it just for what the people owed on it, not what the real value is. Well, take that principle and magnify it by about 1,000. Does the government really want to have the responsibility for thousands of houses?
No.
If 4 or 5 houses in one neighborhood get repossessed by either the bank or the government, the neighborhood's value starts going down. People start moving out. Pretty soon you have whole blocks that are empty houses. And then you got people breaking windows. You have drug people moving in and squatting in the houses and so on. And so the whole society in that area goes downhill. So it's really not in the government's best interest. They want houses occupied. Just like if you were going away on a mission trip for a year, you'd want somebody living in your house. Because
right.
if it's unoccupied, it's in danger. So don't worry about that.
Okay,
cool.
So we're just going to all go to the investmentgrade.gold website, get the starter package, and learn more about safer investments in metals, silver, collectibles, gold, investment-grade gold, maybe even property. Thank you, Lord.
Yes, ma'am. I've got some good ideas on property, ways you can make really good returns, because if you go into a crash, you don't want to have rental houses. You want to own your own house, of course.
Yeah.
Because you got to have a place to live. But people make this fallacious assumption that if they've got an apartment house or 3 or 4 rent houses, they always say, well, even in a crash, people have to have a place to live. Yes, they do. But in many cases, it's going to be with mama. They're going to go back home, even if they're
mm-hmm.
40 years old, and live
there. Or
give
you worthless dollars. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I don't think people are going to have much good fortune trying to rent out houses in a real serious crash. But there is a certain type of commercial real estate that is held up really well, even in crashes. And I don't have time to get into it now, but if people just send me a message, I can send them a video on it. It's pretty interesting.
Okay, how do they send you the message?
Well, once they fill out the form on investmentgrade.gold, it will take them on to another website, which is Golden Art. And there's a contact form there that can ask me any question they'd like.
All right. And don't be afraid to do that, Dr. Barrett. It's very personal. Thank you for being with us. Just thank you so much. And this program will go into the archives within about an hour.
Excellent. Okay. Well, thanks a lot. God bless you.
Have a great day. God bless you.
Bye-bye.
Amen. And then there were other callers, but no one else pushed the number one, letting me know that you actually want to speak on the air. So I wouldn't want to entrap anybody into saying, no, I don't want to talk on the air. But if anyone would like prophetic ministry or prayer, you could call now. You could call 657-383-0613. And if not, I would say this is an excellent show all by itself, and that we all have plenty of food for thought. I took notes, and I have listened to Dr. Barrett quite a few times. I was very interested in the fact that maybe even our Social Security will disappear, which we kind of knew that. I hadn't thought about my retirement income disappearing as well. Whew! But let's do like Dr. Barrett said, like the 10 virgins, and be prepared. Let's go to his website. Let's look at the 10-10-10 plan that he's already laid out for us and find out more about buying investment-grade gold coins. Some of you already have some silver coins, which might be more spendable for the smaller things. You know, we won't need an ounce of gold to buy everything. But let's learn why investment-grade coins are better. And the picture I have in my mind when I picture that are the famous coins, for instance, in Europe. One, because they're rare, and two, that we can either buy those, we can hold them short term, longer term. And Dr. Barrett was telling me just the other day about how some people he knows have made 35% gains on these coins. You just have to have a plan that will work for your finances. If the dollar crashes, you want to buy some things that you'll keep for a year or two. Other things you may keep several years, other things longer, and it's like other investments. The longer you keep it, the better it gets. Okay, well, I think that's it for today. I hope that you'll continue to follow us on Crosswalk Talk Radio and to use this opportunity to call in. But today you can also go to Dr. Barrett's website and at investmentgrade.gold. And send him your questions there. I certainly will be. I sure do love you, and we just want to give God the glory. All the gold and silver is his, and we just want to say, Lord, you're our main desire is to know you. Amen. You are our main desire. Please join us on our Facebook, on our nowfaith.tv Ministry Training School Online, on our YouTube channel, and stay in touch. And please, most of all, share this program. Amen.
Because of who